All right. Hi, hello everyone. Thanks for coming. My name is David Brasdill, and this is a talk on why are Android builds so damn slow. So just a little bit about me. I spent about 10 years working at Google on the Android operating system. I was an engineer on the Android runtime team, working on optimizations in the Java stack. And then Android security, I was the technical lead for the hypervisor and virtualization framework projects. And now at source.dev, we work with device manufacturers who use Android in their products, and we try to optimize their workflows so they're more efficient. And the number one complaint we keep hearing from the ecosystem is Android builds and checkouts are just crazy, crazy slow. Just to give you some context, I mean, you just heard from Stefan how huge the Android code base is. Checking it out, downloading the source code to your computer, easily takes between 15 and 20 minutes. Most of this is just because it's so damn huge. But the other factor is that the AOSP mirror can be quite slow. And a good pro tip is to use the authenticated access, because that's going to get around some of the usage quota. Once you have the source code, you want to build it. That typically takes around 2 hours, or roughly $4.50, depending on where you get your machines from. And again, this comes down to the fact that it's so damn huge. There's about 250,000 build steps that the machine needs to go through. And obviously, if you spend more on your hardware, it's going to go faster, but the costs are also going to go up. So there's a trade-off that you have to balance. And then as you develop, you're going to go through incremental builds, and those can take, you know, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. It all depends on what you've changed and how much of the code base needs to be rebuilt at that point. But there's also another problem with Android, and that's the fact that it doesn't have a good enforcement of the dependency declarations. So sometimes you end up changing something and it doesn't get correctly rebuilt, and it uses an older version of the build artifact. So at that point, most engineers just wipe the build directory and start from scratch, and it's another 2 hours to get back to a working state. I'm going to be quoting some numbers here. I already am. Just to make it reproducible, I picked a virtual machine on Google Cloud, 32 vCPUs, 120 gigs of RAM, NVMe SSD, costs about $2 an hour. And all of these numbers are for the latest Android 16 QPR 2 release. And it's building the AOSP Cuttlefish ARM64 phone target. So if you want to try it, sorry. Louder. OK, I'll speak louder. So if you want to reproduce these numbers, you should be able to by creating a similar environment. Historically, the answer to how are we going to fix this has been that Android will eventually move to Bazel. Bazel is the build system that's used in the Google monorepo. It has been open sourced. It has all these great properties of hermeticity, reproducibility. It has build and test caching. It scales really well. So the original plan from AOSP has been to gradually migrate from the old makefiles to Bazel in a bunch of steps. Step one, develop a build system, which is now called Soong, which uses the Bazel file format, but is backwards compatible with Make. And step two, gradually convert all your makefiles to these new BP files. You saw that in Stefan's charts as well. And then start gradually building some parts of the system with Bazel and gradually phase out Soong and the original Make. Step four, profit. Right? Get all the benefits from Bazel and the associated infrastructure. The effort culminated around Android 14, early 2023, when most of the AOSP code base has been migrated to Soong, give or take some device config files. but the adoption downstream has remained a lot lower, right? So especially in BSPs, you still see a lot of make files. But in early 2023, we started seeing Bazel builds on CI bazel.android.com. Right? So some parts of the system started to be built with Bazel. They all looked great. And then in typical Google fashion, we got a notification that Bazel isn't a supported build system anymore. The migration has been halted in late 2023. And outside of building the Android kernels, Sung is the main build system from now on. So that kind of leaves us in a bind, right? We're in a state where the migration hasn't been completed. We have Sung, but Sung isn't Bazel. It doesn't have those great properties of hermeticity and reproducibility. It sort of tries. There are some mechanisms to sanitize the path, force certain tool chains to be used. There's a sandbox for gen rules. But under the hood, it's still compatible with make, and you can do anything with a make file. You can bypass all these great sandboxing mechanisms. So, you know, the reason why Bazel builds are fast is that it builds on these properties and uses them in a really clever way. But because Sung doesn't have those properties, you can't really do that. So in Bazel, all inputs and outputs are declared up front. You don't have that with Sung. It's easy to sandbox tasks, enforce dependencies, capture results. You can't do that with Sung. It's easy to offload computation to another machine if you have a build farm, especially in a large organization, that can be really helpful. You can't do that with Sung, right? So the question is, we're in this state. What can we actually do? How much of, you know, these sorts of features can we get with the build system that Android currently uses and will probably use for the foreseeable future? I'm also going to reference a talk from Chris Simmons at Embedded OSS 2023, where he deep dives into how Sung and all the other components work. I'm not going to go through that here. I'm just going to tell you the important bits. But if you're interested, go and check out that video. But in short, the way that the build system works is that we have two kinds of build files. Android BP, that those are the ones that are very similar to Bazel's StarLark language. And these are just templates, and all the build logic actually lives in Go. And then we have the legacy Android MK files that are still used in a bunch of places. And the way that the build works is that you have four main components. Sung UI is the top level process. It drives the whole thing. It also renders the progress bar. And then you have Sung underscore build, which takes the blueprint files and compiles them down to Ninja, and Catty, which does the same thing for make files. And that's how the two systems can coexist. They both compile down to the same low-level format, and they can reference each other if necessary. And this process, if you've ever built Android, is really annoying. Because depending on how fast your SSD is, this can take anywhere between 2 and 7 minutes. And every time you touch one of these files, you have to go through the process again. All right, the reason why it's taking so long is because it loads everything into RAM. There's a lot of analysis. It uses about 40 gigs of RAM and then writes about 7 gigabytes of data on disk. Right, so if you're changing the config files, the build files often, you're going to be running into this over and over. Right? But once this is done, you get a set of the build.ninja files, and you execute Ninja, and then just goes through roughly 250,000 individual build commands and executes them with as much parallelism as it gets. Right? That's the bulk of the build. And if you're ever trying to debug why your builds are slow, one indispensable tool is looking at the build traces. This is a file that's generated during the build. It's in /build.trace.gz. And you can take this file and open it in any perf viewer. The one I like is perfetto.dev. You can just upload the file there, and it gives you this beautiful UI where you can see everything that's happening. And we can see those stages here. So this red one, that's building the blueprint files. This is building make files. That on this machine took 2.5 minutes. And the rest is Ninja compiling all the little bits and pieces that you actually need for the system. Before we dive into caching, just some quick tips for how to make it run faster. So obviously, nobody has unlimited budgets. We have to make some trade-offs. So what's a good trade-off in terms of hardware? For the CPU, more cores is always better. You can get so much parallelism out of that main Ninja step that if you can get more cores, get more cores. 24, 32 is a good baseline, but 64, 128 is just going to make it go so much faster. More recent architectures are usually better, like they're always better, but it's not as much of a win as just raw parallelism. RAM, you want about 2 gigabytes per logical core. So if you have 32 cores, you want 64 gigs of RAM, but that's typically the minimum. There are some spikes, so you do want to have a swap roughly the same size just to be able to absorb those spikes every now and then. Otherwise, Linux might decide to kill your build. But the most important one is storage. Low latency is the most important aspect in a build. It doesn't matter how fast is the transfer speed, latency is the king. And the reason is because the working directory has about 4 million files, and the median size is about 300 bytes. So these are millions and millions of teeny tiny files, and you just need to be able to create them on the file system as quickly as you can. And it's the same with the soon underscore build phase. It keeps scanning the code base and scans about 1 million paths, but only reads a handful of those files. So again, just how quickly your SSD can respond is the most important aspect here. All right, so back to caching and recouping some of the features that Bazel has, but soon doesn't. So if you just want a local cache, there's the good old C-cache. Everybody's heard of that. Android has supported it pretty much since the very beginning. At some point, there was a pre-built binary in the code base. That's now gone, but you can still bring your own. If you just install C-cache in Ubuntu and you point Android at that binary, it's going to work just fine. The way you set it up is you need these three environment variables at the top of the terminal. Use ccache equals one just enables it. Ccache dir is the place where you store the data, and ccache exec is the binary itself of ccache. And then ccache dash capital M sets the maximum size of the cache. 20 gigs is enough for AOSP 16. And then you just run M to build Android. And at the end, it's going to tell you how long it took. If you remember, in the beginning, I said the baseline was 2 hours. It's about hour 57. In this case, with C-cache fully populated, it finished in 47 minutes. So we spend 20 gigs of local storage, and we get 58% improvement in build times. And if we print the statistics from C-cache, it will tell us that it had a cache hit on 126,000 targets out of a total of 244,000. So it's pretty much exactly one half of the whole build is C and C++ that can be cached with C-cache. So this is a really low effort thing that you can do, and it's going to make a huge difference. But the state of the art in AOSP in terms of build caching is a component called RE client. This is similar to C-cache in the sense that it's a wrapper around a compiler, but in this case it connects to Bazel's RBE infrastructure. And compared to C-cache, which is only for C and C++, RE client has support for a lot more different kinds of compilers and tools. So there's Clang, there's Linker, Java-C, Metalava, RA-D8, SignAPK, and a bunch of smaller tools. And RE client can take those and make them cacheable. So for this, you need an RBE backend, backend has two kinds of services. The first one is that it's a distributed cache, so clients can upload results of their computation, and then either they themselves later or somebody else can download the same result later on. And in a larger organization, there's also the support for remote execution. So you might have a build farm and you can submit those individual jobs to the build farm and get the results back. There are a lot of different backend solutions. This is a standard protocol. The open source ones all have very similar names. Build Barn, Build Farm, and Build Grid. They all are under Apache 2.0. And if you go to the official Bazel website, there's a list of other ones and commercial ones and so on. So how does RE client work? It has this command called RE wrapper. And you prefix your commands with that. Android would do it for you. And RE wrapper, its job is to create this data structure called action. It's part of the standard of the protocol. And that describes what is about to be executed. But here we hit the difference between Bazel and Soong, because in Bazel, you have all the information available upfront. It's all statically declared, and you can find it immediately. Whereas RE wrapper needs to do a bit of work to fill in the gap. So for the command and environment, that's statically available. If it parses the command line that's being executed, it can figure out which compiler is being used, what are the main source files. So it can populate some information about the inputs. But for example, to figure out which header files will be included by the compiler later on, it needs to run the preprocessor. So it's a bit of work to get to that information. And finally, those input files need a hash. So it needs to hash those files before it can talk to the backend. Once it has the action struct, it sends it to the backend. The backend, depending on how it's configured, will either execute there or look in the cache. And it gives back another data structure called action result. And it's the same thing, but it describes the outputs of that particular action. And it's just an exchange. You know, you do this a few hundred thousand times a build, and that's how the caching works. So to set this up on your own machine, first you need an RBE backend. I'm not gonna go through that here. Depends on that particular project, and it's quite well documented. But on the client side in Android, you need to create a config file. There's an example in build soon docs rbe.json, really well hidden. You need to populate things like the IP address, credentials. Then you need to select the tool chains that you want to use this for. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to find one place where they would just have a list. But if you go to codesearchcs.android.com and you just search for rbe_, you'll find all the strings. And finally, you need to select the execution strategy. So it's what happens on a cache miss. And there are three options: remote local fallback, so execute remotely, fallback to local if it fails. Local, that's the one I'm using in the example, which is no remote execution, just treat the cache as a distributed cache, nothing else. And finally, my favorite, racing, which means you tell the remote server to execute, but you also do it locally, and whoever gets there first, that result gets used. Once you have this config file, then you just need to, again, set some environment variables to point Android at that config file. So the way this looks is those are two variables at the top. The first one is the directory. The other one is the name of the file minus the .json for some reason. And with that, you can run m. First time you need to populate the cache. Second time, it's going to be fully populated. And it prints the stats at the end. So from this, we can see that there were 156,900 local executions. So that's the number of times that the wrapper was invoked. And of those, 144,700 were cache hits. And that's out of 247,000 targets. It, for some reason, adds 3,000 targets. So this is 64% coverage of the build, and the build completed in 30 minutes, 25 seconds, which is 73% faster compared to the baseline. And this is a clear improvement over Ccache, but to me, it's actually quite disappointing because we've gone through all this work of, you know, a standard protocol, distributed cache, support for 10 different toolchains, and all we get out of it is another 14% of coverage and another 15% speed up. So it kind of shows you that there's a limit to how much you can do with compiler wrapping and this general approach of retrofitting the RBE protocol to AOSP. But this is the state of the art. This is the best that you can do with AOSP today. So with that, what's next? What can we actually do better here? Well, ideally, we'll get better coverage, less local pre-processing. But that's tricky because this is a heterogeneous code base. Every project is a little different. It has a million different programming languages. This is probably not unique to Android. Yocto is very similar in this regard. So we need some sort of generic mechanism for isolating and monitoring those individual build commands so that we can move them around, cache them, find the inputs and outputs. It would be also nice to speed up the Ninja file generation. Like we said, it's somewhere between 2 and 7 minutes. You run into that every now and then. Ideally, the algorithm itself would be faster. And anecdotally, I feel like in the past couple of releases, it's gotten a little better. But it's also quite, you know, RAM intensive and I/O heavy, so there's probably a limit to how much you can do there. The other option here is extending caching to this early stage, right, to cache the result of Soong build and Catty, so that if you're in an organization, somebody else has gone through this, or if you're switching between branches and you have a local cache, you don't have to go through this every single time. You will have noticed that we haven't really talked about checkouts. Right? That's also still a problem, especially in CI, where you don't have that persistent state. Or if you're an engineer who keeps, you know, switching between Android branches because you need to cherry pick fixes into different releases and so on, in that setup you keep going through that checkout over and over, and it's also quite painful. But again, going back to Stefan's talk, actually about 50% of the disk usage is coming from pre-builds. And pre-builds have all sorts of like versions of Clang, and they're built for Linux and Darwin. And really what you need during the build is one version for one architecture. So a lot of that time during the checkout is actually completely wasted. And even in the source code, you don't always rebuild everything. You don't need all the definitions for all the devices. You don't need CTS when you're just building the operating system itself. So there's a lot that we're downloading for no good reason. There actually used to be a solution for this. Git VFS is a Microsoft project for a virtual file system for Git, which would allow us to do, you know, on-demand downloading of these files. But unfortunately, that project has been deprecated. So that's also kind of stuck in that sense. And that's the end of my talk. These are the questions that we're asking ourselves in source.dev. And we don't really have an announcement, but if you want to see a demo of how we do checkouts in 30 seconds and built in 5 minutes, then we have a video for you. If you're interested in what we're doing, we're hiring. Send us an email. That's the end. Thank you. Do you have any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Have you heard of ABFS? Have you tried it?
I have heard of ABFS.
Pleasant
Dining? I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
With RB caching, it has problems when you have one version of a baseline in the cache and you're building, using RB cache, a newer version of the baseline, some break or something in your build. So you had that experience.
Sorry, I don't think I've understood.
You mentioned that the Zoom doesn't properly track all the inputs.
Right.
And everything that influences the output. So have you ever had breakages using RB cache where you have cache based on one source code version, but you're building a newer source code version?
Okay, so I'll just repeat the question. It was, does RE client ever run into the issue of not tracking the dependencies properly? And I have not seen that. And that's because it's spending that effort trying to pre-process the local inputs to really figure out what the compiler will need later on.
Are you only using pure Google baseline when you're doing the testing, or
yes,
are you considering also vendor extension?
In this case, pure AOSP. The support for, if you look at RE client, it was built originally for Chromium and then later extended for AOSP, but it's literally AOSP. Like if you have a vendor code base which uses a compiler flag that isn't used in AOSP, then it will not know how it works and if it affects the build. So it would just say, sorry, I can't cache this. Time's up. All right, thank you so much.